First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross is sponsored in part by Baptist Health.
As Russia raises talk of nukes and dirty bombs, Americans step up their support of the Ukrainian people. Good morning. We're live from Studio 2. This is First Coast Connect, and I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. Yes, we're in new studios today, but the phone number's the same as we preview a special concert this week on the JU campus to support Ukrainian refugees. Keep listening as well for a live in-studio performance and give us a call, 549-2937. Then later, a look at what's good this Wednesday, plus the growth of educational opportunities for kids with dyslexia on the First Coast. This Dyslexia Awareness Month, all ahead. But first this hour, there seems to be no end in sight to Russia's war on Ukraine since Russia invaded that sovereign nation in February. Refugees who fled in the wake of Russian aggression are being advised to stay abroad this winter due to blackouts created by Moscow's bombardment of energy infrastructure. It's a terrible situation, but here's some good news. You can do your part this week to lend a hand to help solve this refugee crisis. This week, Jacksonville University is welcoming acclaimed Ukrainian violinist Anastasia Petrushak to the JU campus for a two-day residency and a free performance. Now, the event is free, but attendees will be encouraged to donate to the Global Outreach Educational Foundation. It benefits Ukrainian refugee students right here in Jacksonville. We're so pleased to welcome here in studio acclaimed violinist Anastasia Petrushak. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to see you. And JU Stein College Dean Tim Snyder. Dean Snyder, good to have you.
Good morning, Melissa.
And we're going to be talking about the Linda Barry Stein College of Fine Arts and Humanities residency featuring Anastasia on the JU campus. We're talking about Russia's war on Ukraine, too, and we want to hear from you, especially if you are from Jacksonville's Ukrainian-American community. We want you to give us a call. It's 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Give us a call. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJackson. Facebook is open. In a moment, Dean Snyder will talk about the show. But first, Anastasia, I'd like to ask you a few questions if I could. You are one of the most acclaimed violinists in the world. You travel the world performing, and in a few minutes, you'll perform for us. But first, tell us a little bit about you and your family growing up in Ukraine, if you could.
I grew up in Ukraine, in Ivano-Frankivsk. It's a little city close to Lviv. And yes, I have a very, very nice memories from when I was a child. I remember there was always a good moment to celebrate. We were celebrating a lot. There was always a lot of music, singing, playing. Mm-hmm. And my memories goes also to my first teacher, Marta Kalinchuk, who has a very special place in my heart. And yes, then when I was 11, we decided to move to Italy to continue studying the violin. To my parents, they are very courageous, very special people. So they did really, literally everything for me to get better education. I traveled the world. I discovered different places. And yeah, So this is how it started.
And you've become a virtuoso. Of course, your heart is with Ukraine. Do you still have family members in Ukraine?
Yes, the rest of my family is in Ukraine. And of course, it's a very, very sad situation to know what they are going through. And for me, I even made a video on YouTube, My Heart Cries for Ukraine, to support a little bit to, you know, also in those dark times, we must continue creating beauty, art, everything that can awaken the humanity, the spirit, to give some light to people, some hope and some courage. So that's why we are doing music.
And we're going to talk about that now. JU Stein College Dean Tim Snyder, what prompted JU to host this two-day residency with Anastasia and to shed light on the Ukrainian crisis?
Melissa, this project began pre-pandemic when Mike Serino of Aegis Consulting reached out to me and asked if we'd be willing to host Anastasia. The pandemic shut that project down, and in the meantime, with the outbreak of the war, we realized that as we resumed our plans, we wanted to take an opportunity to give a concert for a cause, to be able to give something back to the community, mm-hmm. and to support the refugees who are here right in Jacksonville and in Arlington in JU's backyard.
Tell us more about that. I didn't realize we had a significant refugee population from Ukraine in Jacksonville.
There are literally dozens of Ukrainians who have come here recently as a result of the war, and a large Ukrainian-American community that existed here before the war. We've connected with the Living Stream Church in Jacksonville, members of that community, and have really been moved by their commitment to support their brethren as they come to Jacksonville. The mm-hmm. Global Outreach Charter Academy Foundation is a local nonprofit, 501c3. The chair is Ilya Soroka. The proceeds from the concert tomorrow evening will benefit 100% to the Global Outreach Charter Academy Foundation. And concertgoers will be able in real time to access a QR code in the program and make their donation during the program.
It's 549-2937. 549-2937. Anastasia, there are Ukrainian Americans living here in Jacksonville and all over the country. And I know from ones that I've talked to that they constantly follow the news back home. They worry about the safety of their relatives. Are your relatives in a hot zone, or have they evacuated to a safer part of the country?
My relatives, they live in Ivano-Frankivsk, that is closer to Poland, let's say, close to Lviv. But lately, of course, following the latest news last week, there was some missiles also in that part, as the Russians, they tried to, to destroy all the electricity that can help Ukrainian for the winter, the population. I know that my aunt, my uncle, they are working in Bursztyn at the specific electricity plant. And last week there was like 4 missiles there, and my cousin, he told me that he was very, very close. He was thinking to, when the alarm was, he was thinking to hide in the car, and actually he decided not to, and mm-hmm. the car was hit. So he was really close to lose his life. And those stories, they make me, of course, worry a lot for them.
Now, you mentioned that the Russians, Vladimir Putin, is trying to destroy Ukrainians' energy infrastructure just as the temperature dips and winter sets in. What are Ukrainians doing to plan for this? Because it's my understanding that the spirit of Ukrainians to resist this illegal invasion is so strong. They've had incredible military victories repelling the Russian aggression. How are they planning to get through the winter? What are your folks over there saying about that?
It's hard to answer from here. I'm not there, actually. But what I hear from my family is that at the family level, it's they are very worried, of course. And in the what they can do is simply to move to a dacha where they can, live old style and cook on wood. And yeah, so...
Mm-hmm. Burning firewood, like from 100 years ago, right? That may be the situation.
Yeah, I think that's this where we are going.
Wow. We're speaking with acclaimed Ukrainian violinist Anastasia Petrushak. She's performing on the JU campus this week, a 2-day residency and a free concert, but it is raising money to benefit Ukrainian refugees in Jacksonville. Let us know your thoughts about the war in Ukraine. It is affecting us here, too, whether you realize it or not, because of the way Vladimir Putin is conducting this war. It is affecting your price at the pump and the price of other goods you pay for. The number to join us is 549-2937. Dean Snyder, this is something that a lot of Americans are following, but from a distance. We take for granted our safety and peace in America. People half a world away are having to deal with this illegal invasion as Putin tries to annex a sovereign nation. And so I know you're not a policy guy or a political guy, but how does the power of music, do you think, affect the discussion about these difficult geopolitical problems? Because what you're about is music.
Thank you for that question, Melissa. You know, I think first of the great Leonard Bernstein, who famously said that our reply to violence is to make music more intensely, to make it more beautifully than ever before. And in these times of war, that's what we as artists cling to. That's our hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, the artists will show the way. History has proven that. And we're proud to host this event tomorrow evening. And as a matter of fact, Anastasia will be with us through Saturday. We're connecting with the Cathedral Arts Project, an organization near and dear to my heart. CAP provides arts-rich education to underserved communities in the city. Anastasia will work with 30 string students of the Cathedral Arts Project this Saturday at St. John's Cathedral. And on Friday, she will deliver a masterclass to Jacksonville University students. And her collaborative pianist, Lorenzo Mayo, will work with students at Douglas Anderson School of the Arts. So we're really looking forward to sharing Anastasia's gifts and her art with young people and older people the next 3 days here in the community.
Wow, that's a very busy schedule. Well, we're so pleased. We'll talk in a moment some more about these issues, but first, let's listen to your talents, if we may. You've prepared a Bach piece, it's my understanding, to perform here in studio, is that right?
Yes, it's a sarabanda from the second partita by Johann Sebastian Bach, and I think, especially in this spirit, it's a very, very nice piece for the soul, for the heart.
Here she is, Ukrainian violinist Anastasia Petrushek. Wow, that was incredibly beautiful. Thank you so much for that performance. Amazing. So Tim Snyder, this is just a preview of the concert. Yes. Two concerts, actually.
Yes.
That you'll be staging at JU.
Yes. We hope the community will join us tomorrow, Thursday the 27th at 7:30 p.m. at Terry Concert Hall on the Jacksonville University campus. Admission is free. Every dollar donated that evening in real time will go directly towards refugee relief here in Jacksonville. We ask that you reserve a ticket, a free ticket, by visiting jutickets.com, and you can print your admission slip and bring it to the concert hall.
Give us a call at 549-2937 as we talk about Ukraine. Anastasia, that was really beautiful. Is she still in front of the mic?
Thank you.
Hi. When you think about Ukraine,
yeah,
what comes to mind when you think about what you love about your country?
I have a lot of memories from my country, from my childhood, and I remember, still remember very, very well the crunchy sound of the snow. This is something that I love the most, and I remember the people. They are so, they have a big heart, and this is something that I would love to come back there. And to think that last time I was there to play for the 30th anniversary of the Ukrainian independence in August last year, this is unbelievable how far we went.
Well, that's at the heart of it, isn't it? Because Ukraine is asserting its independence, and Ukrainians do not want to be part of the Russian Federation, where there is no real freedom. There's no freedom of speech. There's no ability to really criticize the government. People in Russia are being thrown in jail if they speak out against the war. And so, you know, Russia has made false allegations that they have to denazify your country. Their false propaganda has brainwashed quite a few Americans as well. And so I realize you're not a political person, but for people who haven't follow this closely, what's the most important thing you would like them to know about this conflict, and why Ukrainians are fighting so hard to maintain their freedom?
I think it's in the blood of the Ukrainian people to resist, to fight, to protect. And being a musician, what I can say is that art, it must be the way. As Tim Snyder said before, that it's really the artists, they are showing the way, the music is showing the way. So I think that also looking at the past wars, the in any dictatorship, there was always some censored music. So I think this is also to show the power of the music, how powerful it is, that it can give ideas, it can give feelings, emotions, it can guide people, and it can really show the way out. So that's why it's important to play music, to protect the art, and to show, to give, to share with the people the such an important art like music. And I'm very happy to be here. I wanted to thanks a lot Aegis Consulting, Mike Cherino, Tim Scott, Deep Snyder, everyone who contributed to make this happen. And I'm looking forward to share all those emotions, all my music, everything what I feel in this moment. It is very difficult to say with the words, but with music it's much easier. So I'm very happy to share everything with who will come at the concert, and I hope that there will be a lot of people with whom we can share this special moment.
Tim Snyder, I would think there'd be a lot of interest in this special opportunity.
Yes, Melissa, we've had tremendous interest. Frankly, this is the reason that we're asking that those who plan to attend pre-register, so that we can keep some sort of crowd control and not disappoint people. So seating is limited. Please visit jutickets.com. for your free ticket registration for tomorrow's concert, October 27th at 7:30 p.m.
And that is the main event tomorrow night, although there is a master class as well. Is that right?
We have a master class Friday afternoon, the 28th at 4 p.m., also in Terry Concert Hall, open to the public. featuring three talented string majors of Jacksonville University under the mentorship of Dr. Richardson at JU. And Saturday at 10 a.m. at St. John's Cathedral, a masterclass and short performance open to the public, 10 a.m. St. John's Cathedral this Saturday.
We'll talk to Anastasia in a minute again about this, about Ukraine and about her art. But first, let's take a minute to brag about the Linda Barry Stein College of Fine Arts and Humanities at Jacksonville University, of which you are the dean. Tell us about it.
I'm happy to talk about the Linda Barry Stein College of Fine Arts and Humanities anytime anyone asks. So we are celebrating our 61st year of this season. Last year, we had a banner 60th anniversary celebration. Our college was founded in 1961. We're one of the oldest programs of study at the university, founded by Dr. Francis Bartlett Kinney, a name you know well, Melissa.
Of course.
And our community knows well.
The late, great Dr. Kinney.
Indeed, the late, great Dr. Kinney. And, you know, Fran talked about, to each of her graduates, she said, go out, people, and make the world a better place with your art.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. And we continue. That's our mission. We're doing this through this event with Anastasia. And Melissa, it's our North Star. You know, just in recent months, we've combined forces with Cathedral Arts Project to bring Jeanette McCoon from the Kennedy Center here to Jacksonville, Gwen Moten, a former arts ambassador under the Clinton and H.W. Bush administrations. We partnered with the Jacksonville Children's Chorus just last week to bring Rosephanie Powell to campus.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, Rita Coburn, Emmy and Peabody Award-winning documentary and PBS documentaries, Maya Angelou and Marian Anderson was on campus for a residency. Last spring, we brought Metropolitan Opera star Jamie Barton and Jake Heggie, one of the leading opera composers alive today, to campus. So we educate our students to be future artists and scholars. We also want to be and are a resource to the community and a place where the Jacksonville community can look to for cultural enrichment.
That's wonderful. Now, Anastasia, you travel the world performing. I would think in recent months, people feel a special urgency to support your artistry and your work because the whole world is watching what's happening in Ukraine.
Yes, lately I did a lot of concerts also to support Ukraine for the charity projects and especially to help the kids because, you know, in this unjust war, the one who are suffering the most are the kids. We are taking away from them a serene childhood. So this is very important to support them. And through Tulsun Foundation, I played a few concerts to help the orphans kids in from the region in Kiev. I played in Strasbourg, in France, in Spain, in Italy. The last concert was also in Poland. So a little bit everywhere. And yes, it is important for me. It's dear to my heart also because I'm a mom of a 15 months old child, a little boy called Andrea.
You know, just the other day I read that Russians are literally stealing kids from their parents in Ukraine, taking them to Russia and placing them with Russian families, and that Ukrainian moms and dads are desperately trying to locate children who have literally been abducted by the Russian invaders. It's as horrific as you can possibly imagine. I mean, just imagine how you would feel if your children were taken away and you couldn't find out where they were and they were placed with another family. And it's all part of this Russian project to erase Ukraine off the map, to just subsume it into Russia.
Horrible news and horrible stories. And even for the moms who are losing their children in the war, like, yeah, it's no one should go through all this.
You know, I love the colors of the Ukrainian flag. They're blue and yellow. And as we've been listening to her talk and perform, it occurred to me, we have the same colors right here in our studio. Our logo is blue and yellow. So I think that's an appropriate way to christen this studio, this new studio today with our Ukrainian guest.
It is a beautiful studio indeed.
It really is. And so I want to thank you both so much for being our first guests here in our new space. violinist Anastasia Petrashak and Dr. Tim Snyder, Dean of the J.U. Stein College of Arts and Humanities. One more time, how can people get their tickets?
www.jutickets.com. And for those who may be unable to attend but would like to donate to the cause, you may do so at ju.edu/supportstein using the drop-down Ukraine Relief.
Thank you both so much, and have a wonderful show.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Well, much more still ahead. Meanwhile, later, a little good news for your Wednesday. But up next.
There's a particular method of teaching the dyslexic brain called the Orton-Gillingham method. OG has been around for a long, long time and has a lot of data behind it.
Expanding educational opportunities for kids in the city with dyslexia. We profile the DePaul School after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Well, October is Dyslexia Awareness Month. Now, many people wrongly think dyslexia is a disability, but it's not. It's just a learning impairment, and it creates difficulty with things like reading, writing, and spelling. It does not affect intelligence. Here's what's shocking. Anywhere from 5 to 15% of students are estimated to have dyslexia. Now, the DePaul School at the Beaches is a new option for parents of students with dyslexia, and they are growing fast. Physician and school parent Dr. Chanley Dudley educates her son at DePaul, and she spoke with me about the school. Hey, Chanley, it's good to talk to you, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about options for kids with dyslexia in Jacksonville. And that has changed in recent years. There are more places for kids with this learning disability to be educated with teachers who understand their challenges. And you want to talk in particular about the DePaul School. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. So dyslexia affects 1 in 5 individuals worldwide. So it is a very predominant issue for lots of people. And luckily, over the last many years, advocacy has been happening on behalf of dyslexic students because there's so much data to support the need to teach children how to read, because that really changes the trajectory of their entire life. So it's true, there are more options, both within the public school system and also within a lot of the private schools. There's a particular method of teaching the dyslexic brain called the Orton-Gillingham method. There are others, but OG has been around for a long, long time and has a lot of data behind it to be substantive for teaching the dyslexic brain in a multisensory modality. And it is the type of thing that anybody can learn with the Orton-Gillingham method, but dyslexic brains really, really can only learn with the OG method. And the DePaul School, where my son goes to school, is a wonderful but very small program currently located out at the beach, and we are hoping to grow because there are over 30,000 students with dyslexia in Duval County alone, and the needs are mm-hmm. great, and within the public school system and the private school system, more awareness is there, but DePaul specializes in the Orton-Gillingham method all day long.
And your son, Charlie, went from not being able to read on grade levels, really struggling, to doing very well. Tell us about him and his journey.
Sure. Charlie was, and always has been, the bravest person I know. He had struggled greatly during the pandemic when we were home, trying to homeschool him for those few months that we were home and doing virtual school. And my husband and I were both pulling our hair out, trying to teach him to read and also teaching him math. And we had him retested with a wonderful neuropsychologist and finally got the clarifying dyslexia diagnosis in addition to the dyscalculia diagnosis, which is sort of the math version of dyslexia. And at that point, we knew that his educational situation needed to change because it was just becoming so much of a burden for him and very frustrating for him. And we found DePaul sort of out by happenstance. And that's what I have found over time as a mother, that you really don't know what the resources are until you're faced with a challenge and need to find a way to meet them. And so I found DePaul, and he is now within a year and a half reading on grade level. He's actually multiplying. He is able to read beautiful books, chapter books even, and he's doing homework independently. He's actually telling me about his day. So he's very verbal now, and he's just so happy. And just seeing that happiness and the brightness and the excitement for education is really what any parent wants. And it's really gratifying to know that there is this little special school out there to help kids just like Charlie.
And you want to grow the DePaul school. The waiting list, I understand, is a mile long. You're bursting at the seams. What are the plans to expand the DePaul school for kids with dyslexia?
Thank you for asking that. We know that the needs are great. And DePaul is a private school, but it's a nonprofit. And we are hoping to grow the program. We currently only have space for about 98 to 100 students. And because there's such an unmet need, we are hoping to grow and move to a new location to facilitate just the growth of the classroom sizes, but maintaining a small environment for the students so that they can have that individualized one-on-one teaching in that multisensory way that supports their learning.
People can learn more at the website DePaulSchool.com. If you have a child with dyslexia, or maybe you suspect your child has dyslexia, get in touch with them. Dr. Chanlee Dudley, a parent of a child with dyslexia here in our area, thanks for sharing this with our listeners.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. Have a great day.
Northeast Florida artists are making noise that's reverberating across the country, and the Jacksonville Music Experience is your ticket to the local scene. Music reviews, curated playlists, music history, concert recommendations, and profiles of local artists, all put together by our team of local contributors. The Jacksonville Music Experience plays it local and plays it loud. Visit jacksmusic.org to read and hear more.
Across the First Coast, real men are wearing pink this month, all to support both women and men living with breast cancer. One of them is our own station manager, David Luckin, wearing a pink button down here in our new studios today. Hey, good morning.
Hi, Melissa. How are you today?
I'm good. So you're part of Real Men Wear Pink, and you have to close out this fundraising month strong. Tell us about this campaign.
Well, the campaign is really to raise awareness first and raise funds secondly, so people who might not be able to afford testing, or the money goes to research. So it goes to a good cause. And straight away, I'm going to say visit David Luckin on Facebook and donate $5, $15, $500, whatever. I'm in a race here with the other guys, so I want to win.
That's right. There's some competition involved.
Yeah, for a good cause. And it's really about the awareness. You know, most men would never think they were going to get breast cancer. So if you feel something, go do something. Go see someone. Do the right thing.
You're a breast cancer survivor yourself.
Yes, a year and 6 months.
Yeah. Men can get this disease, but Real Men Wear Pink is about supporting anyone with the disease.
Yes.
How does it work?
Well, the organization here, and Lauren's not here with me, but there's been golf tournaments and big fundraisers and big events. It's just an endless. It started in August and ends, I think, October 30th. A series of events just to raise awareness and raise funds for.
And how does the money help? Where does the money go?
Well, like I said, it goes to research and it helps
you
people who
that.
May not have the funds.
Now, Breast Cancer Awareness Month is October. And so this is the time when the big push is on. But all through the year, we try to talk about this disease and all of the resources available. Of course, we've got my mayoral candidate, Donna Deegan, who is herself a 3-time breast cancer survivor and created a national marathon.
First person I called.
Finish breast cancer, as it's known. So there's a special community in Jacksonville around this, isn't there?
There is. And the Donna Run, of course, being the ultimate of providing funds for people who might not have the funds to support it, because it is expensive. I'm on a pill for the next 10 years. Lucky me, I've got health care.
But even with insurance, it's a lot?
No, it's not. That's why I say lucky me, because if I didn't have the insurance, I don't know what the cost would be. I don't remember, but it's probably 3, 4, 5 times what I'm paying. So it's an important, really, it's awareness and raising funds for research and to help people. And it's going really well. Let me put it this way. They had a $500,000 goal, and they're at $453,000.
Really?
Yeah, they only need 7,000 to get there.
That is fantastic.
Or whatever the math is, because I was just talking with Lauren from the Cancer Society and said, we're real close, so please go to Facebook.
It's such a scary disease, but I have to say, I was so impressed with how you handled the entire process as you were going through your treatment, which is so difficult for everyone. You never lost that positive attitude.
No, and most people say that's what really helped.
Yeah?
Is going in with a good attitude. You come out with a good attitude. And the in-between is when you prop yourself up and carry on.
That's right. What else can you do?
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know me. We've known each other 20 years. I'm always an optimist. I'm an optimist about everything. So
I know.
I made jokes every day about it. I wouldn't repeat them on the radio, but no, you just got to try and make fun, because it's not fun. So we counter it with doing things that make you feel better.
What was the toughest part for you?
The chemo.
Yeah.
For me, it was just a horrible stomach thing, ache, like worse than I've ever had before. But for other people, it's other things. So I don't complain. I've heard worse cases. I met a young man who did 21 rounds, and I'm looking at myself saying, you only did 4. Shut up.
Wow.
And this kid was like 21 years old, and he said, I've done 21. And I thought, wow, okay, you're my model.
Yeah. And your hair's all grown back.
Actually, more than when
even
when
more
left.
Than before.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
And you didn't have to wear a wig.
No. Wore a hat for a little bit. But
now, what's it like wearing pink?
I feel like a girl. No, it's fine. I like pink. I like all colors. So it's good. And it's awareness. That's really why we do it. We're just trying to bring awareness to it.
Yeah. Now that you're feeling fit and healthy again, how much has this whole battle with cancer given you more appreciation for all the good things
Everything,
in your
yes.
life.
I just took a trip. I just took my wife and daughter to Paris and Amsterdam because of the chemo and the cancer. Because once you come out the other side, it's like, let's start living. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And I'm not a fatalist or anything, but it did give me
the most of every
exactly.
day.
It gave me the inspiration to go do things, just whatever makes you happy. If it's kayaking, if it's flying to Europe, whatever, you got to just get back in the game. I was thinking about, I should quit and I'm getting tired. And now that I'm healthy again, it's like, why would I quit? I'm going to keep working.
Which we're very glad about. Now, you showed some of your photos from your trip to us. Was that your first trip to Europe?
No, my fourth.
Your fourth?
My daughter's first.
What was it like for her?
Oh, she was eyes wide open the whole time. Yeah, we went to the Louvre and the Wrights and the Van Gogh. She wanted to do museums. She's a fine arts major. So she kept the culture very high on the list.
You went to Paris
yes.
and then Amsterdam.
Yeah, 4 days in each.
Had you been to either city before?
Yes.
You've been to both?
Fourth time to Amsterdam, third time to Paris.
But your wife and daughter had not?
No, my wife had been there once with me.
Okay.
We went.
So, but for Jordan, this was all new.
Oh, yeah. And here's the best part, Melissa. She lost her luggage for 3 days, so she got to buy all new clothes in Amsterdam.
We went. She loved that,
yeah,
I bet.
and the last day, her bags came after she spent, $200 on clothes. But we went to vintage clothing stores and new stores, and she's got a whole new wardrobe. Thank you, KLM, for losing our bags for 2 days.
My daughters would think of that as a second Christmas, I think they'd be really excited.
Freaking out a bit because all of her cameras were in one of the bags, so we had to backtrack when she finally got her bags to take pictures of beautiful places we'd seen. But
yeah,
it's all good. Stay healthy, keep a good attitude is really what it's about.
That's right. Now, as Americans in Europe, of course, we hear a lot about Europeans not liking the ugly American stereotype.
They were so
but
nice.
But you didn't find that.
No, I never do. I think you find what you look for.
If you just conduct yourself a certain way. Yeah.
Be a gentleman.
If you, you're polite, try to speak a few words of French.
They won't even let you.
They won't?
No, especially in Amsterdam. They speak English better than you and I, Melissa. And if you try, it's like, no. We speak English. It's all good.
Now, Amsterdam is famous for a lot of things.
It's every American's vice is there.
That's right.
Prostitution, diamonds, chocolate, drugs.
You name it.
Yeah, but you know, you don't need to do any of that because it's such a wonderful city. You just sit on a canal and sip a glass of wine and watch the parade.
When you look at their canals, you kind of say to yourself, we've got all this water here in our own backyard.
Right.
Can we please build up our waterfront in a way that people are excited and take pictures of it and all that?
Well, they built houses in Amsterdam and they sunk into the earth. Mm-hmm. So all the houses in Amsterdam now are built on trees. There is a forest under Amsterdam.
So it's like Venice.
Yes, they would drop a tree 20 feet down and then build a house on top of it. Now, if they start to rot, you can see the houses start to lean. And now they use PVC pipe and concrete to replace them. But I didn't know there's a forest under Amsterdam, that the whole city is built on treetops.
That's
who
how
knew?
Venice was built, too.
Yeah, oh, I didn't
Isn't
that know
amazing?
That.
Yeah, with just wood stuck, poles of
they
wood
drive
stuck in the mud.
Okay, I'd never heard that. But
it's amazing that it worked, too, for 1,000 years.
I know, and every house is different. You talk about individuals. There's no two houses that look alike. It's such a wonderful country. You feel like you're in a village, even though you're in this big city. It's a village.
Well, you've inspired me to make a trip myself. Now, in the meantime, let's get back to Real Men Wear Pink.
Sure.
Tell us again how people can learn more and make sure you win this contest.
Absolutely. Just if you're on Facebook, go to David Luckin Facebook, and there's a link there to all the good causes and all the reasons we're asking you to help us. And as I keep repeating, it's really about awareness. You gotta feel something, go do something, see someone. It can sneak up on you. I was lucky. It was stage one. Mm-hmm. If I let
because
it go.
Because you went to the doctor right away.
I did a mammogram and they said, you're fine.
But you didn't buy that.
Well, because
you sought a second opinion.
The feelings persisted. So 6 months later, I did it again. They said, oh no, we definitely have a problem.
Yeah.
So beware. Do two tests if you're unsure, if you think you got a problem and they say no, it's really incumbent on all of us to manage our own health care and not wait for anyone to lead us the way.
That's right. And if you have a funny feeling about something, seek a second opinion. I think that's important
absolutely.
Too.
You feel something, do something. And men, you know, we if it's not bleeding, we kind of don't care, but some things are hidden and you should just be aware and do the right thing. Be smart. The life you save may be your own.
Yeah. David Luckin of Real Men Wear Pink. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in.
Up next, some more good news for your Halloween weekend. What's Good Wednesdays after this? Don't go away.
Amelia Island presents the Right Whale Festival, November 5th and 6th at Main Beach Park. Learn about whale conservation with family fun, live music, food, eco-activities, and arts and crafts. More info at ameliaisland.com/whale. At Vistar Credit Union, we believe in helping members reach their financial goals and building stronger communities. It's why we offer our members better rates and give back to the places we call home.
Vistar Credit Union. Visit vistarcu.org/join.
Hi, it's Robin Hilton from NPR Music. Public radio is dedicated to discovering the sound of your community. Stations just like this one share the kind of music you can't hear anywhere else. From new and emerging local bands, longtime favorites, and more. So join NPR Music as we celebrate Public Radio Music Day on Wednesday, October 26th. Visit publicradiomusicday.org to learn more.
Vladimir Kara-Murza is one of the Kremlin's fiercest critics. He's also in jail for 10 years.
Every single thing that he says is truth. The problem is that for the current Russian regime, this equals treachery.
What's left of the Russian opposition movement during a time of war with Ukraine? That's next time on The World.
Tomorrow at 3, here on WJCT News 89.9.
It's a deadly, lawless jungle between Colombia and Panama. Already this year, more than 150,000 have crossed the Darien Gap to get to the U.S. Most of them are Venezuelan. Next time on 1A, the latest on what's behind these record numbers and why many are still dying on their way through the Darien Gap.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. Well, Pinecastle, an adult day training program for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, is celebrating its 70th anniversary on the First Coast this month. They're expanding and having a big barbecue party on Saturday, November 5th. I got a preview from CEO Lori Ann Whittington.
Pinecastle is a nonprofit agency that serves adults with intellectual and developmental differences, things like autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, things like that. And we have been in existence for 70 years this year, and we are celebrating our 70th anniversary coming up here on November 5th. We've been working hard for the last 3 years to get ready for our 70th anniversary, and we did that in three ways. We renovated the entire campus, thanks to some generous donors, and so we transformed everything into learning and working spaces to support our new Pathways to Possibilities program. And that's part of our Pinecastle Academy that launched in August of this year. And it's kind of like a college experience for our participants. And they take classes and they do an assessment where we can really tell if their skills are growing and if they need work in different areas. And then the objective is for our people on the work pathway to graduate into jobs in community employment. So we renovated the campus, we developed new curriculum for the academy, and we've been working most recently to make Pinecastle debt-free in time for our 70th anniversary, and we're almost there. The easiest way to find out more about the 70th anniversary is to go to pinecastle.org, one word, and it will take you right to the 70th anniversary information to either donate, volunteer, or buy tickets for the barbecue.
Check that out. Here's some more good news. On Thursday night, it's A Night at the Castle, kicking off the Ghosts of St. Augustine's Past Festival this weekend. You're encouraged to dress in holiday period costumes from the past, like steampunk, the Gilded Age, the Roaring Twenties, pirates. They're going to have music in the historic plaza Saturday and Sunday as well. Here's TV host and festival organizer Jorge Rivera.
Though it's Halloween and we love the spookiness of St. Augustine, we're trying also to celebrate five centuries of the city's folklore and its fashion. So also we have three nights of free concerts in La Plaza de la Constitución. So a launch event is Thursday, October 27th, with an event called A Night at the Castle. And we're doing it at Ribley's, believe it or not. We have the whole castle to ourselves. It's all costume. There'll be music, appetizers, beer, wine, champagne, and lots of surprises. It's just giving that feeling almost of a Venice carnival. On Saturday, we have music at the Casino. And then Sunday, we close our festival with Ramona and the Riot at the Casino and a wonderful steampunk festival.
Tickets for that at Ticketstripe. Now, speaking of tickets, the Beyond Van Gogh, the immersive experience exhibit downtown, is so popular, they're extending it through February 26. Get your tickets to that at vangojacksonville.com. Well, tomorrow is Read for the Record Day. More than 2 million readers and thousands of classrooms, libraries, and communities will come together to celebrate early literacy. WJCT will post videos all day on Facebook of local celebrities reading Nigel and the Moon. Our celebrity is third grader Camille from Hidden Hoaks Elementary. Go, Camille. Keep reading. Well, jazz star Boney James plays the Florida Theater tomorrow night. I spoke with the smooth saxophonist and three-time Grammy nominee about his new music and his show.
Well, the record is called A Detour, which refers somewhat to the music that I wrote. I thought it sounded pretty fresh, but also just to the last 2 years that the whole planet had been going through. And the word popped into my head, and I thought, that's an appropriate name for this record. And I'm really in love with the music. I think it's some of the best stuff that I've written. A bunch of the guys that are in my live band actually play it on the record and co-wrote a couple of the songs. So we're excited about that. And then I got to figure out what I'm going to drop from the other show, because it's always a challenge now with 18 records, just to try and keep everyone happy and play everyone's favorite songs.
All right, we've got a pair of tickets to give away to Boney James tomorrow at the Florida Theater. Email us at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, subject line Boney, and we'll pick one winner at random. Finally, Halloween favorite, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, screens Saturday at Florida Theater, one night only. Here's host Carissa Wade.
It is our 10th year of doing the Rocky Horror Show, so it normally sells out. Everyone dresses all kinds of craziness with all kinds of wild costumes and characters and fun. It's a live action, so what that means is you throw things, you yell things, you do all these different interactions with the screen and the movie itself. It's just a high-energy, fun event. No one's ever been before. Be prepared for the whole audience to be really interacting and just being loud and yelling and having fun with everything. So we always have a live band each year. There's a full barge on both levels. I come out, I introduce the movie. We do what's called the Sacrifice of the Virgins, which means the people's first time ever coming to the show. We do a little fun thing with that. It is a one-night only show, so you'll want to get your tickets early because it does sell out. And there will be a little bit of a line, and parking's going to be hard because it is the Florida-Georgia weekend.
That's right, folks. Be mindful of that and have some Halloween fun. Whatever you do, let's do the time warp, everybody. I'm Melissa Ross. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Make it a great day.
Madness takes its toll, but listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. Where is the building trust? It really does feel insane. Let's do the time warp.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.